This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Good morning. My name's David, and I'm very glad to see you. Especially if you're a visitor, if this is your first time, you're very, very welcome. Please make sure that if you haven't already got one, that you pick up one of these news sheets on your way out. It tells you a little bit more about us, things that are coming up. Thinking about fatherhood and grandfatherhood, I was reminded of a story about a little girl who's sitting on her granddad's lap, a bit like Isaac and Andy, but it was her granddad, and he was reading her a story, and every now and again she would reach up and she would just stroke his face, and then she would stroke her face, and then read on for a bit longer. Then she'd reach up and she'd stroke his face, and then she'd stroke her face. And after a while, she stopped and she said, "Granddad," she said, "Granddad, did God make you?" She said, "Yeah, yes, yes, darling. God made me a long time ago." She said, "And stroking her face. And did God make me too?" "Yes, yes. God made you too, not very long ago at all." Stroking his face. "He's getting better at it, isn't he?" "He's still practicing. Why don't you stroke the face of the person next to you? Just tell me what you think. Getting better or worse?" Normally when we talk about God, we normally talk about God the Father. We give him a male gender, which isn't actually justified. We have to do that because of the restrictions of our language. God is neither male nor female. He's both. He's everything. But we usually describe him with male attributes. But there are female attributes which are used in the Bible as well. God's described as a master with servants, a general with soldiers, or a hen with chickens, a groom with his bride, or a mother with her child. He's often described as a good friend and very often as a shepherd of the sheep. And because of the restrictions of our language, we tend to use the male gender and talk about God the Father, and it is Father's Day, so I'm going to use that language today. Somebody somewhere got it into their brains to designate today Father's Day. I don't know who, and I don't know why, and I feel manipulated by that. I feel that I have to do something for my father today. I'm taking him to the cricket afterwards, actually. But I really, really don't want your relationship with your father to be defined by the greeting card manufacturers. I really don't. I've got a great relationship with my father, at least since I left home. I was a troublesome child. But since then, we've got on really well. I wonder, big breath, what's your relationship with your father like, or what was it like? Or if you're a father yourself, what's the relationship with your son or daughter like? And when Father's Day comes round, what sort of emotions does it raise in you? My predominant emotion is irritation at being told that I've got to treat this as a special day. But maybe it raises different emotions, and maybe the question, "Does my father love me?" is hovering just under the surface. I asked my father the other week, I said, "What do you think about when it comes up to Father's Day?" His father died many, many years ago, and he took a long time to answer, and then he said, "I don't really think about it. I only think of myself as a father, not as a son. I only met my father twice," he said. "One as a 5-year-old, one as a 15-year-old. My granddad was one of these hero missionary figures who was in China. I was talking to somebody else just a couple of weeks ago whose father died early this year. And she didn't know how she was going to approach today, because it would be the first Father's Day. Perhaps your parents split up when you were young. And so Father's Day is a really difficult, complicated day for you. And maybe the question, does my Father love me, remains unanswered. We run a child contact center. It's one of the one of our reaching out to our community. And in the child contact center, it's somewhere where we try and reconnect children, usually with their fathers, with their absent fathers. And it's a great way to see love being rediscovered. I don't know if you don't know about this, look into it. And if you've got a couple of hours to be able to give once a month on a Saturday, then really I would commend this to you. It's a wonderful thing to see and to be part of. Where's Elaine? Elaine's on the back row, waving. She'll give you one of these booklets, which is about, and there's some down here actually, about working in the Child Contact Centre and how to volunteer. I wonder what your relationship with your father is like, or was like. And I think there'll be a wide range of experiences here. And there'll be some that are warm and positive, like mine. There'll be some that are a vacuum because your father has died, or very difficult because your father was physically or emotionally absent, like my father's father. He may have left the family, left your mum when you were young, or maybe his job took him away a lot and he travelled in the armed forces or as a missionary like my granddad, or in business. Or maybe he was actually there in body, but you couldn't get through to him because of the newspaper or the perpetual work emails, or he's out at the pub with his buddies. Or maybe your father figure in your life is a monster in whom you can see no good thing. The Bible tells us a lot about how God loves us and uses the father-son relationship quite a lot. But understanding how he loves us impacts our understanding of our father's relationship with us and our relationship with our children if we have them. One of the major themes all the way through Scripture is the father and the son relationship, and we want to look at that a bit today. Would you like to find Matthew chapter 3? Matthew is in one of the four biographies about Jesus. Chapter 3 is the third of the chapters, and we're looking at verse 13. It says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him by saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. John and Jesus would have known each other. They were cousins, and they would have been having discussion as friends. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. At that moment, heaven was opened. All the three gospel writers who write about this all use that phrase, the heaven was opened. What did they see that made them use those words? It must have been extraordinary, mustn't it? That something must have happened, and the only words they could use was heaven opened. Amazing. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove. It reminded them of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, I wonder what this must have sounded like. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's pray. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right. It's given to us because he loves us. We say thank you, Lord. Lord, we come to you to worship together on a Sunday and to think and to pray and to share life. And we think particularly this morning of the family and friends and the people surrounding Joe Cox, who died on Thursday, who was killed on Thursday. And we don't quite know what to pray. We could pray the formal prayer, which goes like this: Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with those who mourn. that casting all their care on you, they may know the consolation of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We mourn her loss, Lord, and we pray for the family, and we pray for the friends and the people around her. We thank you for the work she did and the example she was. We pray that somehow you will speak and come and comfort and bless in this terrible situation. We're also faced this week with the referendum, and we want to pray about that. Again, I'll pray the formal prayer of that. God of truth, give us grace to debate the issues in this referendum with honesty and openness. Give generosity to those who seek to form opinion, and discernment to those who vote, that our nation may prosper, and that with all the peoples of Europe we may work for peace and the common good for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we do just, that is our prayer. We pray that whichever way we're going to vote, that you will have your hand on this and on the way we approach it. Give us wisdom to hear your voice in all this, we pray. And I pray that you'll just bless this message and these words about fatherhood today. Would your anointing come and your Holy Spirit fill this place as we listen to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus had an adopted father, of course, Joseph, but he had a heavenly father. At least that's the language that's used to help us understand this relationship between Jesus on earth and God in heaven, the father-son relationship. What do fathers and sons say to each other? Milton Jones, the comedian, he said this. He said, "My father was a man of few words. He would say, 'Son,' that was it." But Jesus, when he emerges from the baptismal waters of the River Jordan, he hears this thunder, and he hears, "This is my son, whom I love." I remember over the years when my father has said something affirming in front of other people when he's introduced me. You know, often they'd introduce me, "This is my eldest," or whatever. And I remember that sort of little warm feeling inside when I got introduced like that, when they said good things about me. They had to struggle, but they found one or two things to say. The closest we normally get to public affirmation, really, is when the father of the bride makes his speech, isn't it? And says how wonderful she is and how much he loves her and warns the groom to look after her. That's normally the only publicly accepted place for that type of affirmation. Some of you have never heard those words. Never heard those words. Your father, maybe your mother, never said anything like this to you. Never affirmed you without reservation. Never declared his or her love for you in public. And as I say that, it's causing you pain. As I remind you of that deficit. And I don't care how tough you think you are or how well controlled your facade. You're human. And every human being needs to hear those affirming words. There's a cavity deep within us. Can only be filled by the words of God the Father saying, "I love you." When God the Father says to Jesus the Son, "This is my Son in whom I love," it's a different order of declaration of love for what we're used to. On three accounts, really, the subject of this love is God himself, the creator of the universe, a sovereign who can hold the universe in the palm of his hand and has no obligation to love anything. And yet he does. This is him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And the object of this love is Jesus, this sinless man, although God living a sinless life as a man, entirely obedient to his Father. And the love itself is an all-powerful, never-ceasing, passionate, costly pursuit. It's not a romantic crush. It's not a fashion preference. Oh, I love that outfit. It's not sentimental love we have for Muhammad Ali or the Queen. Isn't she wonderful? It's not that type of love. It's a sacrificial, costly love. On three accounts, it's different. It's God who's doing the loving. He's loving Jesus, the sinless one. And it's a love of a spectacular kind. It's a declaration of love which is spectacular and different. But you're thinking, what about me? I'm not sure, even if my human father loves me. He's not God, and I'm not a very lovable person. And the love he might have is a weak human love at the best. Let's just turn to two remarkable passages from the scriptures. John chapter 1, right at the beginning of one of the other biographies about Jesus, right at the beginning, it sets this manifesto, if you like, declaration. John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, says this. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become. He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. It says here, we are drawn into this extraordinary relationship between the sovereign King, Creator God, and his sinless Son, a human on earth, and that in that tractor beam of love that goes between them. We are drawn into the same relationship. It's an extraordinary declaration. If you look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is verse 14. Romans is a letter, a theological letter, if you like. It says this, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. He's speaking into a culture with servants and masters. It says it doesn't make you slaves or servants so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Being a son or a daughter, adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba was the ancient language for daddy or father. By him we cry, Father. So he's gone from being that amazing, huge God to being Father. We're into that relationship. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we're children, then we're heirs. Extraordinary, isn't it? Let me sum up what's saying. It's saying here, it's saying that Jesus came to reveal God the Father to us and his love. And if you choose to believe in him, invite his Spirit into his life, into your life, you are adopted into that family. You become a son or a daughter of God. I mean, it's the language is easy to say, but getting your head around that is a stretch. We start to find ourselves able to say, Abba, Father. God, Abba is that special word. Like it's probably not as informal as daddy, but it's very intimate and with the Father. God is no longer an angry, judgmental, vindictive deity or dad. He is no longer a distant or an absent being or dad. He becomes Father. We can say Father. That's why Jesus died for us, so we could receive the same love that he receives. Knowing that should radically transform your life. Radically. It's not our frail human love, but a guaranteed, powerful, eternal, divine love. Paul goes on to write in Romans 8, he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, there is nothing, neither height nor depth nor anything else And all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an extraordinary hope, this. It's a beautiful promise. It's a different dimension in which to live your life. When we believe in Jesus, when we believe in God the Father, by His Spirit, we become children of God. And we too can begin to hear these stunning words. This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. You can hear those words spoken by the Father. Does my Father love me? Yeah, He does. Yes, He does. Let me conclude. Whatever, note this is important. Whatever your experience, whether your experience of parenthood has been great or terrible, God is not like your father or your mother. Okay. God is not like them. It is possible that your father or mother are a bit like him, a bit like Andy was saying earlier on. We can see a glimpse of what he might be like by looking at a great father or mother relationship. To love and to care and to affirm and to sustain and provide and to lead, those are all great things mothers and fathers can do and can be inspired to do by God better and better. And if you happen to be a father or mother, reach into Him and ask Him to release that gifting on you to become better and better, more and more like Him. But God isn't like your mum or dad. It's the other way around. Whatever your experience of being a son or daughter, and however you find that that affects your life now. As I've been sort of exploring this, you've been thinking, your environment of experiencing that relationship with your father or mother is, you're realizing, is affecting the way you deal with your children, or with your siblings, or with your friends and neighbors. There is a greater hope for your life than that impoverished image of what could be. There is a greater hope for your life, a better way to live your life, an empowered life to be enjoyed, both now and in eternity, when you know the love of the Father. Does my Father love me? Yes, He does. You're deeply loved. You're deeply loved by God. He's demonstrated His love for you in so many ways, most by the sacrifice of His Son Jesus on the cross. His love is an all-encompassing love, a tsunami that floods your life by the power of His Holy Spirit, a love which heals wounds and restores sanity. It breaks addictions. It's a life-changing love. It's a purpose-giving love. It's love which makes weak and broken men and women strong again. Can you imagine what it's like to hear the words, I love you, from the Creator, from your Redeemer, from your Father God? Can you imagine what that must be like? And this is the good news. You can. Does my Father love me? Yes, He does. Why don't you stand? I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come, God's Holy Spirit to come, and to speak those words to you now. And if it's not a familiar thing that you've heard, then it may take a while to hear it properly. But He's speaking it. He's saying it over you. So allow Him to come. Just take a posture of receiving. Imagine Jesus coming out of the water of the baptism, and He was waiting to hear these words. What was His posture? Now, Father God, I ask you to come. on this day of all days. And I ask you to speak your words of love to the people here now. More, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. For some of you, this is a healing moment because the words from your father were not great words in your memory. And this is a new thing. This is a healing exercise to hear the loving Father tell you he loves you. That's okay. We're not going after your dad or your mum. We're not going after them. We're just speaking his healing power today for you to know God's love. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. That more, Lord. Bless what you're doing. That's it. And for some of you, you can't believe that what I'm saying is true. Well, you sort of believe it, but you can't really receive it for you. Maybe the person sitting next to you, but for you, nah. And that's just the enemy trying to deprive you of something very special. So I encourage you to choose to believe, yes, it can be for you. Holy Spirit, come. Speak your love. Yeah, more. Let him come. If you're standing where I'm standing, you can see that the Lord is speaking to people. As I was preparing this, I had a picture of a young boy on a bike learning to ride, and his father was behind him, and he was just setting off on a little bike, wobbling. And I don't know if that's a picture from you that would mean something to you, but if so, I'd love to pray for you about that. I also saw a picture of a belt being prepared for punishment. If that's a picture for you, then we'd love to pray about through that with you as well. Let him come. If you're engaged with God, just stay as you are, receiving his love. And if you're not, and if you're a regular here, would you just have a look around and just go and bless what you see God doing? We've got a couple of minutes, so let's just go and do that now. If you're new here, if this is your first time, all we're going to do is, if the Spirit of the Lord's blessing you, we're just going to say yes and amen. We're not going to push you over or shout at you or preach at you. We just want to bless what God's doing. So you just stay engaged. Stay engaged with God. And if you're not engaged with God, please do. If you're not engaged with God, please do have a look around and go off and pray for somebody. We believe that everybody gets to play. This is something that we can all do. So, bless what you're doing, Lord. If it's a puzzle to you what we're doing, then just go and join in and ask questions. We're going to carry on praying for people. If you would like us to specifically pray for you about something, I'd ask somebody near you or come to the front here and I'll get somebody to pray with you. Please don't leave without doing business with God, receiving his love. If you've got children, now would be quite a good time to go and collect them. You can always come back and we can continue to pray for you afterwards. But that's about the end. So thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Have a great week. Don't forget to vote.